and welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this finally Friday, June 13th. Hey, Friday the 13th. And it's not too lucky because of the weather. Feels more like fall outside with temperatures in the upper 50s and patchy drizzle throughout the FM area. Although, hey, it's a nice day in the far northern valley where they have temperatures in the mid-70s, a little sunshine to our north. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And how's your Friday going, Bridget?
You know, actually, just as we're coming on air, I am watching some video from down around the Britton, South Dakota area where they've had almost 4 inches of rain in roughly 24 hours. And there are some creeks, streams, whatever you want to call it, that are cutting through some banks, causing some erosion. It's messy down there. And for that much rainfall to happen in a short amount of time is just, in a way, fascinating, but also devastating.
Yeah. Too much of a good thing. Those areas from about Sisseton through about Wilmer, Minnesota, anywhere between 4 or 5 inches of rain. And that's just too much. And most of the rain in the far southern valley range from about a half inch to an inch. But other than that, really from north of the 94 corridor, there has not been much at all outside of just some very light amounts, 100, 200ths of an inch. But when we had Gary on yesterday, we were talking about we're about ready to go into that stormy part of the LRC cycle. This was one of those storms. It went south. Now let's see what happens. There's about three or four more between Monday and the end of the month. So we'll see how that pans out. But areas, they more than likely will not concentrate over the same areas. So that's good news there. So areas that got missed out on the rain, odds are next week you're probably going to see some more rainfall than others will. So at least that's the way it looks now.
I have a direct request from Western Cass County asking for some rainfall. If you'd like me to drop you a pin for that so you can put a cloud there.
Okay. Rain. I'd really like it. Well, they got a little drizzle this afternoon. That's about it. But, yeah, nothing that's really going to help.
More than drizzle.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if you've been listening over the last week with our great grocery giveaway, we have been announcing every day here on Weather and Ag and Focus, and we do it throughout the day on our other programs too, of people that can qualify. And if you want to be considered to win that $10,000 gift card for a year's worth of free groceries, just log on to our website, wdayradionow.com, and enter there. And today's contestant who can qualify, but you have to call in within the next 9 minutes and 70 seconds. Joanne Venas, Joanne, is that right, Addison? Yeah, Joanne Venas of Fargo. You have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call, 701-293-9000. Again, that's Joanne Venas. Good luck, Joanne. Give us a call. You got 9 minutes and 70 seconds, and then you can qualify for the big prize.
Now, Joanne can call us on the JLA Insurance phone line. That number is 701-293-9000. Reach us there. We will also have folks calling in to ask questions later on in the show today. You can continue to reach us, weather@flagfamily.com, ag@flagfamily.com, for questions. But Joanne Venas, in order for you to qualify for the great grocery giveaway, we need you to call that JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Dean, did you have qualifiers while I was gone for 2 days?
Nobody called in. Yeah, they missed their chance. They missed their chance.
Okay, here's my question about this $10,000 gift card. You get it all. Can you spend it all at once? Like when I was in college, my roommates and I were fascinated with this game show called Supermarket Sweep. And I can practically hear Addison Googling it right now. But like,
I remember that.
You have a timed event through the grocery store to get as many dollars as you can.
Oh, that was a great,
Personally, it's how I grocery shop every day. Like race the cart down the aisles, throw the stuff in and run.
Yeah.
So if you win 10 grand, And maybe you have little kids. Think about the diapers, the formula.
Right.
Unlike supermarket sweep, I don't know that you need to buy a 15-pound block of cheese, but maybe you do, and this would be a great way to do it.
I'd be going right to the meat aisle.
Well, you can go to Allsoggers.
Yeah. So I had first time I've eaten at Allsoggers, gotten their steaks, and I think it was the best ribeye, literally, that I have ever had. I mean, it was that good. So, yeah, their meat is good. And, they're one of our sponsors along with Kingpins for this great grocery giveaway. So, again, Joanne.
When do we give that away? Like July?
July 10th. July 10th. Okay. Yeah. So if you know Joanne Vanas from Fargo, you've got how much time does she have left here, Addison?
That's 7 minutes and 50 seconds.
All right.
Time is ticking.
If you know Joanne Vanas, let her know. Give her a call. Wake her up. Whatever. Knock on her door. Say, hey, you got a chance to qualify here. So, Joanne Vanas, you got about 7 minutes left here. 701-293-9000.
And I would like to throw something out real quick. This is not, I'm not calling for this person to call back. I'm sorry. The chance has come and gone. But I would like to give a shout out. Yesterday, we were looking for someone by the name of Linda Lease, who was our caller yesterday, and Linda did not call in, but I would like to give a shout out to Linda Lease, who did call in, a different Linda Lease called in. So I would like to give a shout out to that Linda, who was informed by her family members that her name had been shouted out on the radio. Sadly, different last name, we're looking for a different Linda Lease, but shout out to Linda for still calling in.
You know, and
what are the
also,
odds?
If your name is like Steve Johnson in this area, how many Steve Johnsons are there? I mean,
true.
All of them, right?
Yeah.
Every possible middle initial combination, whatever the case is. So, yeah, we got to be a little clarifying on who's calling in. But you'd think Joanne's name is going to stand out enough today that she could be the winner qualifying the $10,000.
Let's hope so.
Giveaway.
Yep. Again, Joanne.
I'd love to see that.
I would. We haven't had a qualifier on our show. What's going on? Come on.
we're tough like that.
Yeah. Especially. So $10,000. I mean, that can buy a lot of groceries. And like Bridget said, if you got little kids at home, diapers, formula, it's a fantastic prize.
Look. You've got graduation next year. Here is your paper plate and napkin
and then
allocation,
some, right?
Right, and then some. Get all the plastic forks. This is your way to stock up, plan ahead. Laundry soap. I mean, not kidding you. One of my kids said at Christmas this year when I asked, "What do you want?" And her reply was, "Have you seen the price of laundry soap these days?" She wasn't even kidding, because that's the case for all of us, right? Let's buy those things. And support local, like we're buying at Allsoggers Meats right here in Fargo. So other things that are going on that make investments in our area, well, one of them happened to Cavalier, North Dakota. The North Dakota Soybean Council has partnered with the North Dakota FFA Foundation to launch the new chapter grant. Now, Soybean Council has long been a proponent of FFA and has been a great help in many ways. But this new grant provides new chapters with $1,500 for their startup costs, and additionally, 7 iconic blue jackets, so that will outfit their officer team. Then they receive a chapter flag with the FFA emblem and the chapter name on it, an American flag, and a full set of officer stations. Officer stations are the emblem for each officer, the president, the vice president, etc., for use at banquets, opening ceremonies and meetings, those types of things. So you get those little startup items, plus you get the $1,500. For your chapter. This is a great way to continue that investment that Soybean Council wants to make in the state of North Dakota, but additionally in the high schools, bringing ag in more classrooms. And so Cavalier, North Dakota, has received the most recent grant, and that's one way of investing in the future of our students in the area. And then another investment that's going on, well, that would be the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library out in Medora. If you recall, we have indeed interviewed the executive director of that library. They are under construction with the anticipated opening date of July 4th, 2026, just in time for the 200th anniversary of our nation. And why do we talk about the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library on Weather and Ag in Focus? Teddy Roosevelt had a huge impact in livestock production in the state of North Dakota, and that's a big part of our agricultural economy. He was a rancher. He was a landowner, and he had some pretty important friends, particularly folks like the Marquis de Morez, who was looking to bring a new concept of a packing plant where he butchered and then shipped the sides beef to Chicago instead of shipping the live animals and then having to deal with carcass loss, et cetera, you know, shrink on the animal. And so it was a pretty interesting time in the late 1800s in western North Dakota. It was certainly was still the frontier, and Teddy Roosevelt played a major role in the development of that part of our state. So looking forward to watching that library and museum open up in Medora next summer, which they've already completed their phase one of their construction, and they're making things look like and fit into the rolling hill topography of the Medora area.
That's
so
awesome.
I can't wait to go out there and see the construction this summer. I'm
cool.
Planning on a trip out there end of the month.
Good deal.
So, much to come. We should be joined today by Patty Sen. She is with Soul Solutions Recovery Center. It's a little bit of a heavier topic today. We have talked before about mental health and concerns, not only with our farmers, but just our whole agricultural community, because we have folks that are bankers, equipment salesmen, grain merchandisers, agronomists, and so much more. But we're going to talk with Patty also about substance abuse. Oftentimes in agriculture, it's just an accepted practice. We're going to have a beer with whatever it is we do. When is that too much? And what are some of the resources and help that's available? So we'll do that when we return from the American Ag Network. We'll be back. Oh, technology should make your farm and ranch run smoother, and I hope it is. But if it's not, it's time to reach out to Tech Support Farm. Talk to Chris Sherman, because Chris can help make sure that you do not get taken by a scammer, by ransomware, malware, and so much more on your farm. And it's not easy to think about, because you don't want to go to town to the coffee shop and say, guess what, guys, I lost $80,000 in a phishing scam this weekend, and I didn't even get a walleye. So this is your time to check out techsupportfarm.com and talk to Chris. He can help you make sure your tech is safe. We are joined today by Patty Sen. Patty is with Soul Solutions Recovery Center. Patty, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us and coming into studio as well. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about Soul Solutions Recovery Center, who you are, what you do, and I'm sure part of our listeners who are just tuning into exactly what does that have to do with weather and ag, but we're going to get there.
Yeah, so Soul Solutions is a fairly new outpatient treatment center in the Fargo-Moorhead area. We are about 3.5 years old right now. A couple of things that we really emphasize is family involvement in treatment and long-term recovery management. You know, substance use disorders are not quick fixes. They're chronic illnesses, and they are best treated over extended periods of time. So we really emphasize working with people and walking with people throughout their early recovery journey.
So, because I don't necessarily know how the steps work, how does someone enter into your care? Is it due to a doctor's recommendation? Is it because there have been some struggles with depression, anxiety? What does that look like?
Yeah, so there's many different paths. It can be someone just saying one day, I can't do this anymore. I need some help, and reaching out. It can be through an employer or a concerned loved one. We get a lot of people that seek services as a result of their family members reaching out. So back to this is a family illness and it affects everyone. Family members, we get a significant amount of calls from family members saying, I have a loved one who's struggling. What do I do? Where do I start? And so that journey can look different for everyone, and the circumstances that seek someone to reach out are different. We want to be there for everyone, beginning at that first step, so to speak.
Okay, so we've made the decision, and I'll use myself as the example. I've made the decision that I want to seek your help. By doing that, you said you are outpatient treatment. Yep. Do I begin directly with you in yep. some counseling? How do we evaluate yeah. what my needs might be?
Yeah, so that all starts with doing an assessment. So you come in and you meet with one of the clinical staff, and we help determine what path is most appropriate. And for some people, for most people, outpatient services are most appropriate. There are people that do need higher levels of care, whether that's residential or inpatient treatment. And if that's what they need, we help them get to a facility that can meet those needs. But it all starts with sitting down and just having a conversation with one of the counselors, and we'll help you figure out the next steps from there.
Go ahead, Bridget.
Dean just asked me a question in our messaging back and forth. Dean, bring that question up because I think that's a really good topical point for this discussion.
And the reason I was messaging Bridget was because it was kind of a two-part question I was going to throw to Patty. So the first question is, do most insurances cover treatment?
Yes,
they do. And the next question was, do most farmers, so in our ag community, do most farmers carry health insurance or do they not?
Well, that's a great question. I would say in our experience, most that we've worked with do cover or carry insurance, health insurance.
Okay.
That covers the cost of treatment.
Because they're basically an independent employee for,
right.
you know, so.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Hold on. There's a couple ways to look at this. You have a number of off-farm spouses who may be carrying that, and particularly so
okay.
they can
yeah.
carry the health insurance for
sure.
the family.
Sure.
You know, we have a high percentage of off-farm spouses in this state. Secondly, when you ask about health insurance, if you're insuring yourself, there's a couple ways to do that. Minnesota has a insurance cooperative for farmers where you can join in and buy as a group in order to get a better rate instead of having to be an individual farm. Depending on your farm size, you may be carrying insurance for you, your employees as a benefit as well. And there's a number of farmers that really would use a high deductible and an out-of-pocket payment in order to cover those types of expenses. So, and when you think about those expenses, outpatient treatment, I don't really know how that works. I mean, is it just we're charging you per session, per day that you come in? And you know, what are kind of the expectations people should have? Because finances matter. We're giving away $10,000 in groceries because finances matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So substance use disorder treatment is like any other medical need. Sometimes it depends on the insurance, but most insurances, you know, it's a per diem charge. So if you're in a group session for 3 hours a day or whatever it might be, there's a reimbursement rate that insurances pay. And there's the usual, deductible and co-insurance that we have to figure out. So, there's a fair amount of people that do have some out-of-pocket expense that comes with this, just like any other healthcare services that they might need.
Okay.
And Patty, have you seen an increase, let's just say over the last 5 years, have you seen an increase in our ag community seeking help?
Yes, to some extent. It is a tough group to get in for services for lots of different reasons. I think one of the main ones is there's still, unfortunately, a lot of stigma that revolves around substance use and needing some support for that. And I think that's typical in our region. There's a lot of stigma. Farmers and people in the agricultural industry don't work 9-to-5 jobs. And so just the logistics of being able to coordinate coming in for any type of services or ongoing treatment is a bit of a nightmare, unfortunately. So, being able to carve out a few hours a day to seek help is a big ask for people that are in the middle of planting season or harvest or whatever it might be.
Patty, I've got quite a few questions here, whether from my own or from other folks that we're going to talk about after our news, and things like, what are some of the questions that I might be asking myself about me or about someone that I know that could help them determine whether or not they need your services. Is treatment in person or is it done through like a telemed? And really, what are the services that you provide? So folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to touch on those when we return. For those who have questions, again, the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Dean and I will take your emails, weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Thanks for being here today on Weather and Ag in Focus. And also thank you to Peterson Farm Seed. They're one of our Here We Grow sponsors. We've got wheat growing this year. It's out here in northwestern Cass County. And you can find Peterson Farm Seed in our field as we cooperate with Jim and Michael Euland to raise 20 acres of wheat. I saw Carl Peterson yesterday in Fargo. And Carl, especially to you, thanks for being a part of this. I know that bringing commercial wheat seed and a quality seed of that to your customers is an important piece of your business. And we're glad to be a part of it as well. Also, Hire Drone Service. H-E-U-E-R. That's Matthew and Eleanor. They're down by Leonard, North Dakota. And frankly, if you are south of them, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, with some of that heavy rainfall, and you're going to need some work done later, but it's going to be super muddy after 4 inches of rain, give those folks a reach at Hire Drone Agri Services. They would love to help you out with getting some spraying done. We have in studio today Dr. Patty Seen. And Patty is with Soil Solutions Recovery Center. One of the questions I have for you, Dr. Seen, is what are the questions that someone should be asking themselves or to someone else saying, do I need help or not? Where do we start with that?
Sure. Well, first of all, I do need to, I appreciate the promotion, but I am not a doctor. I am a licensed, I'm dually licensed. I have an addiction in, or a license in addiction and mental health. So I am dually licensed in the state, but not a doctor. So I just wanted to.
Well, today you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So how do I know if I have a problem? There's a couple of simple ways to look at it. And, a simple way is, if it's causing problems, it's a problem, kind of keep it simple. If it's starting to be a topic of discussion, either in your head or with family members, if you're starting to say, well, is this normal? Usually that's an indication that things are starting to become more than just a social use, so to speak. There's, questionnaires and all kinds of things where you can, answer the questions. But usually if someone is starting to even have this inkling of, boy, is this normal or maybe I'm drinking a little too much, that's an indication that it would probably be helpful to go talk to someone and then they can help you further explore that.
Go ahead. Okay. I'll hold this one a little bit later.
Yeah, I was going to ask Patty. So I've heard the term, and I know people like this, and I don't know if the term is a functioning alcoholic, but they will go out every day or every night, or they'll stay at home and they'll drink every night, not necessarily in excess, but they drink every day. Does that signify a problem?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So, that term functioning alcoholic is a tricky one because are people functioning? Are they doing, are they going to work? Are they paying the bills? Mm-hmm. All of those things. Most people that are in our treatment center are doing that. They have jobs, mm-hmm. they're paying their bills, a roof over their heads, all of that good stuff. But that doesn't mean that alcohol isn't negatively impacting their life. So we look at quality of life. What is your quality of life like if you are going home every night after work and drinking rather than engaging with the family or social or whatever it might be. So some of it is quality of life. And what we find is that as substance use takes over more and more of a person's life, the rest of their world diminishes. So the quality of their family life, the quality of their social life, their physical health tends to decline. So we look at those things like I said, most people that we work with have jobs and are taking care of the day-to-day stuff, but their quality of life is starting to be impacted.
Okay.
So I literally, in the last week, had a friend through social media, through one of the platforms, say, I think I have a problem with alcohol. What can I suggest to that person? Do I give that reminder? Do you, you know, asking the question, do you think it's affecting your life negatively, et cetera? Or any guidance you could give me, Patty, so I could maybe reach back out to that friend?
Yeah, I would just kind of explore that a little bit more, and you know, what makes you say that? You know, what is prompting that reflection? That's great if, you know, if that little reflection is starting to happen. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person, you know, needs to get into treatment tomorrow or anything like that. But it would probably be helpful to have some conversations and have some conversations with someone that can help guide that process. At Soul Solutions, we do a lot of what we call just free information sessions. And that's a lot of people just coming in with the example you gave. It's like, well, I don't know. I think I might be. And we can help guide that and help them figure out, well, here's some options for you. Here's maybe some next steps, and go that route.
Okay. We talk a lot about liquor, alcohol, as far as substance abuse, particularly in this region, because it's very much part of our culture as well. You know, when Wisconsinites say we can outdrink you, North Dakotans say, really? Watch this, hold my beer. And it's not just alcohol that affects us as well. Okay, this is somewhat for emphasis, but it's still the truth. I got a farmer in South Dakota who says, yeah, one of my best friends, he made all sorts of money driving his, you know, his cattle hauler, his bull rack back in the 90s, and he did it by using a reasonable amount of cocaine. There's a lot more than just beer out there, and I don't know what a reasonable amount of cocaine is. I'm not sure I ever need to see that, but any thoughts there, Patty?
For sure. Alcohol you know, we always talk about the opioid epidemic in our community and throughout the nation, and there's absolutely an opioid epidemic. But we also have a significant amount of alcohol misuse, cannabis misuse, other substances. So I believe we are in the middle of a substance use epidemic, and it's not specific to any particular substance. It is all substances across the board. And we see an increase in, methamphetamine. You know, the example you gave, you know, we're working with someone who is retired that got introduced to methamphetamine, which is, a fairly unique scenario, but is becoming more and more common, unfortunately. So we see all substances, unfortunately.
And Patty, we've got a caller on line one. Dennis has a question for you. Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, more of a statement. I'm a recovering alcoholic, 40 years.
Congrats.
I'm also a retired addiction counselor from Grand Forks. And one thing I remember one of my clients asking, well, is it okay if I just have a few? And what I told the person was, once you become a pickle, you can't go back to being a cucumber.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
And also, to have, you know, one beer, that's like having one peanut or one potato chip. It can't be done.
Yeah.
So, anyway, good job.
Well, congratulations. Thanks. On your 40 years.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. And is that true for all people, Patty? If if you're recovering an alcoholic or whatever you're recovering from, you can't just have one, because will that put you, that's going to put you back into relapse? Or Is that true for everybody?
Generally speaking, that's true. Everyone, you know, or a lot of people like to point out the anomaly and the one person that seems to be managing okay. But generally speaking, for someone with a diagnosed substance use disorder, our belief at Soul Solutions is the best course of action is to maintain abstinence, because once you kind of reignite that addiction pathway in your brain, you're off to the races. And unfortunately, we see a lot of people coming back after having treatment in the past, and it is the same story. I thought I could manage it better. I thought I knew better after being in treatment, and they try that route, and for the vast majority of people, it is not sustainable or a realistic option.
Is it hereditary?
Yes.
It is hereditary.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yep. Okay.
Patty, you've said several times, our services. What are those services? Do they have to be in person? Can people park in their pasture and their pickup and do video chat with you? What does this look like?
We at Soul Solutions, we are not doing telehealth right now. That is something that we are working towards, because we certainly recognize that is a more feasible option for a lot of people. So those services are available in our community for people that do need that telehealth option. It is not something that we're currently doing at Soul Solutions, but is something that we are working towards. Our programming is, like I said, all levels of outpatient treatment. So depending on what a person's needs are, people are coming to group either once a week, three times a week, five times a week, kind of depending on what their needs are. Group therapy tends to be the most effective mode of treatment for substance use disorders. It is more impactful oftentimes than individual therapy, but that doesn't mean it's not that it can't work for some people. And doing something is better than doing nothing.
Well, that's absolutely true. And like you said earlier, maybe you're just not sure and you want to talk to someone. There's a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So, Patty, where can people find you and reach out and have conversations? Dennis was a wonderful caller to give you kudos and to talk about his own journey. Yeah. But other folks may want to do that in private.
For sure. Just go to soulsolutions.org, S-O-U-L, solutions.org, or give us a call at 701-356-7772.
Good deal. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Patty. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll run down a recap of our October-like weather out there. Don't worry, summer will return. We'll have the full forecast, and we'll run down a couple of ag topics as well. All of that when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon, and we've got cloudy skies out there, still drizzle across the area, and you don't see this too often. In our area, we're in the 50s, Northern Valley is in the mid-70s. The reason being, there's more sunshine to the north, and that'll be the same case tomorrow, as we're stuck in the clouds here in and around the 94 corridor, while partly cloudy skies to our north will give warmer temperatures. Now, today we're going to stay right in the upper 50s to low 60s, and tomorrow clouds hang tight, a little bit warmer. I think we'll hit mid-60s tomorrow, if we're lucky, upper 60s, but I think mid-60s, a slight chance of a few showers tomorrow. And then Sunday will be a little bit nicer. I still think we're going to hang on to a lot of clouds, but we should see enough breaks for some sunshine to warm us up into the 70s on Sunday. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. I wish we had more summer weather for the weekend, but I will say one thing, Bridget, and we're getting strong indications that next weekend we will see, or just before next weekend, a nice burst of summer heat. I don't think it's going to last long, maybe a couple days, but if we can get a couple days on the weekend where we're having 80s and 90s, I don't think many people will complain. It's hard to get out to the lakes when the weather is like this.
Define nice bursts of summer weather. I mean, I walked through downtown Fargo yesterday and I saw a lady with a python snake wrapped around her shoulders and some kid walked by and said, "That's a nice python." And I did not think that was a nice python, nor did I think it was a good idea. So when you say nice summer weather, I need better clarification on that, Waisaki.
Upper 80s to low 90s.
Bridget's going to need a fan.
But it's okay, it looks like it's only for a few days. So, it would make a lot of our boaters happy. They can get out on the lake and actually enjoy some decent weather.
True, but I'm a native North Dakotan, and as my grandma would say, my blood's too thick for this.
Right.
Nonetheless, it is certainly branding season. We've had a lot of folks moving cattle out to pasture and wanting to get those calves branded. If you are in the area of Harvey, North Dakota, or even if you're not, Maddock Ranch Supply has a rental service. So if you need chutes like the Conquistador, if you need that's a portable corral system, if you need anything to help put in fencing, if you're doing some projects this summer, make sure to give them a call. That's Maddock Ranch Supply out of Harvey. They will help get you all set up for your livestock equipment needs, and there's a lot going on. Also in the realm of horses, livestock, etc., there's a common respiratory disease in horses called strangles. And there's a reason for that, because if I tell you the symptomology, it's going to make a lot more sense. So clinical signs of strangles as a respiratory disease in horses. They can have a fever. They're lethargic. There's an inflammation at the back of the throat, and then it makes it very painful for the horse to eat or drink. So it's like they're strangling. They can have a runny nose and also a bit of a cough. How do you prevent that from happening? Well, vets will tell you that as horses travel around to fairs and shows, etc., it's a little easier to see it happening. Antibiotics are not recommended, but you do want to talk to your vet. 75% of the animals will just work through it. It's kind of like when mom said, "Well, you got a summer cold. You'll be fine in a few days." Now, there is a vaccination, but really no current consensus by veterinarians as to the use of that particular vaccination. It's very geographical at this point. But overall, your best prevention is just simply keeping new horses quarantined for about 3 weeks after they arrive at your location. If you're going to fairs and so forth, make sure that they are not able to touch nose to nose, and they should be keeping separate water and hay. They're not sharing that, because it's kind of like when you have little kids that are sharing utensils or toys. If one's got a cold, pretty soon the other has a cold, and it's kind of the same thing with horses if they're sharing water tanks and hay and the like. So keep that in mind. Strangles will actually see an increase over the summer with all the horse shows and fairs and so forth that we have folks going to. And there's a lot of them on the calendar. There'll be a lot more things going on this summer.
Hmm.
Glad to see it. For the gardeners, if you are out in the, in the pasture, well, maybe your garden's in the pasture, but potato plants are up and growing. Keep an eye out for potato bugs. Colorado potato beetles are prevalent in this region due to the amount of potatoes that we do raise here commercially. Now, potato plants can tolerate about 20 to 30% defoliation prior to their flowering. But then after flowering, there's a reduction in yield, and it can be upwards of 30% defoliation will really hurt at tuber formation. So scout your fields, whether you have commercial fields or if you're just in the garden. If you're a home gardener, you can hand pick the larvae and adults. There are some insecticides that will help suppress the population. If you're like me, you just gave up raising potatoes because it became a pain due to the potato bugs, and just go to the wash plant at Buxton where commercial potato growers take theirs and get them washed, bagged, and bring some home after you buy them. So keep an eye out. Those potato bugs are coming on strong, and many pests do as we get into the summer months. So happy gardening, though, in the meantime. Personally, my peas took off like crazy this week. Very nice to see.
So, do you have any weekend plans, Bridget? Are you going to get out and are you actually going to stay in one place for once, or are you back out on the road again?
I'll be back out on the road Monday and Tuesday. You will have a co-host. That's not me.
Yes.
You'll have Bill Hale from Aminia. Bill's going to step into my seat and take care of things while I'm gone.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, enjoy your weekend, Bridget, and everybody out there, have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll bring the warmer weather in later next week. But don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.